Our epistle for this fourth Sunday in Advent is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Brethren, let a man so account us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now here it is required in stewards that a man be found trustworthy, but with me it is a very small matter to be judged by you or by man's tribunal. Nay, I do not even judge my own self, for I have nothing on my conscience, yet I am not therefore justified. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, pass no judgment before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and make manifest the counsel of hearts. And then everyone will have his praise from God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea, and Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother, tetrarch of the districts of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Caiaphas, of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked ways shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all mankind shall see the salvation of God. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Make ready the way of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, have we paid attention to the course that our Blessed Mother, or that our Holy Mother of the Church, and our Blessed Mother, is trying to lead us on through this liturgical year? We have the end of the liturgical year, and we were hit with the whole concept of the Last Judgment. And perhaps when we heard about it and read about it and thought about it, there was a fear. Fear is not a bad thing. It says in Scripture, fear is the beginning of wisdom. Well, the beginning of Advent, we are once again, it's reiterated about the judgment. But there's a little different twist the Holy Mother of the Church gives us then, after thinking about the end of the world and the final judgment. She comes back and reminds us of that day that will happen. But then she tells us, but when you see these things come to pass, lift up your head, look up, because your salvation is nearer. In other words, something we look forward to. Why do we look forward to it? Because we've prepared for it. We didn't play the fool. We didn't try to make our own rules and play that whole game that too many people play. No, we prepared. That takes a work. So, with that being said, and having that attitude of, okay, this is an inevitable fact, that this will happen. One day I will die, and not for me to sit back and to be all scared about it, but the logical thing for me is to be prepared for it, whatever is necessary. Holy Mother of the Church then presents us the next Sunday with a question. Why? Why is the question? Of course, we read that idea in the gospel where our Lord is asking the people who are listening to him. And he says, why did you go out to the desert? Did you go out there to see a reed shaken by the wind? But why did you go out there? See a man in fine clothing? This is where we must ask ourselves why. Why am I alive? Why is it important for me to be good? Not just to look good, but to be really good. Why did God become man? Why do I go to communion? Why do I go to confession? Why? What is the real reason? Not the made-up reason, not the reason we give in front of other people so they go, oh, that's a nice reason, and they judge us as good. I guess we just read in the epistle today, St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. It's a very small thing to be judged by other men. God's the judge. What does he see? He knows your reason why. Is it a good reason? Only you can make your reason good. Is it a pacifier? Is that the reason you come to church? Or is it an intimate want to have a relationship with God? Good question. The third Sunday of Advent, we are reminded to rejoice in the Lord always. Don't bemoan your moderation or your penances or your sacrifices. No. Let them be known to all men and why you do them, that they may see your good works and rejoice in your Father who is in heaven. There's no such thing as a sad saint. If you have the right reason of why you do what you ought to do, spiritually speaking, other people will see, and it will be a sublime sermon. We go to the gospel, and the question the Pharisees and the representatives of the temple ask John, who are you? Great question we should ask ourselves. Who are you? Are you something because other people think you are something? Because if you are, it's a facade, it's a fake, it's a lie. If you're something, if your value is on account of what God sees in you, or on account of your connection with the divine, understanding that of and by yourselves you're a sinner and he's your savior. Okay, now we're talking. He's your redeemer. Now we have something to look at. But whatever, what makes that decision for a person is the individual. No one could make it for another person. We must choose to be a follower of Christ. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Christ. Be a true disciple of Christ. Are you a true disciple of Christ? Now here it's important for us not to get discouraged if we stumble and fall. It's all right. Remember what Christ says, I have not come for the just, I have come for the sinner. But are we making the effort? It's the ones that don't stumble and fall because they're okay in the position that they find themselves in, which is usually flat on their face. That's where the problem is. But if you're struggling and you're going and you're fighting and you continue and you have this battle within yourself, no, that's a good sign, especially when you're doing it for the right reason. So who are you? Are you striving to be a child of the Heavenly Father? Isn't that what we're called to be in our baptism? Well, if our choice is to be a child of the Heavenly Father while we have the message today, and the reminder today, well, not he who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does. It's a work that needs to be done. He who does the will of my Father in heaven will enter the kingdom of heaven. St. James says, faith without works is dead. What work are we talking about here? We're talking about the road that leads to our heart. Today, we quote Isaiah where he says, The road will be made straight, the valleys will be filled, the high places brought low. We make a road. About 20 plus years ago, I was assigned to a parish in Delta, Colorado. It's a nice little church. You could probably fit about five of them in this church. Anyways, we became too small, or the church became too small. Parish became too big for that church, and we had to look for another place. Well, we found 10 acres that was affordable to us, but this 10 acres was totally undeveloped. It had been farmland for years. There was no electrical, there was no plumbing, there was no water. Well, we were able to buy it, thanks be to God and St. Joseph, I believe. And then the first thing that we had to do, we wanted to build a school there. We wanted to build a convent there. We wanted to build a rectory there. We wanted to build a church there. But the first thing we needed to do is to build a road. What an epiphany that was to me. If ever you have the opportunity to look at the details of building a road, I'm not talking about a paved road. I'm talking about a gravel road. From scratch. It's quite the process. I was sitting there and watched the machinery that was brought in. The graders, the bulldozers, dump trucks, the water trucks. I go, well, this is interesting. Okay, let me see this process. Thought we were going to be done in a day. We weren't done. It took about 3 weeks to get done. First, the place needed to be, well, designated where the road was going to be. That takes planning. Then you had to figure out the level and how everything was going to work together, making sure that all the work that you would put into this road wouldn't be just washed away by the next rainfall. Then the grading started, and they graded it and graded it and graded it and graded it, and then they brought in the smaller rocks, pebbles, laid it down, put water over it, graded it again, ran it over with one of those compressor, I'm not sure what they're called, big wheels, go back and forth and back and forth, and then they added some more dirt to fill in all the cracks and added some more. It was quite the process to make a good road. It took an effort. Now, why do I tell you this? Because it takes an effort, my dear friends of Christ, to make a good road, to make a good way of the Lord into your heart. And we make sure that we do not give way to discouragement, but we keep making the effort. And we say, no, this is worth it. Yes, okay, this must be brought down. That must be filled in. I must make this level. And when we see a deficiency, don't give up. Change. Because he's worth it. And every effort that you make, he blesses when you make it for him. Sometimes we get too focused on the stumbling and the weakness, and we forget that he knows our weakness. He knows our needs, and to our weakness he is no stranger. He waits to see the effort that you're making to make straight the way of the Lord, and he does the rest. So as we approach that great feast of Christmas, and we are preparing our homes and our events, which are very good, and we know if we want a good event, we have to make an effort to make that preparation properly. We have to make our dinners properly in order so they're good. The desserts, coordinate. We know there's an effort that needs to be put in there. Let us not forget the effort that needs to be made in order to have the celebration of Christ's birthday in our hearts. This is the opportunity that we have if we want it. If you are a person of goodwill, then you want God's will, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to have it. Then, and only then, I can promise that on Christmas, at Christmas time, you will have that peace that so many people seek and so few have, because you will have Christ, who is that Prince of Peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.